Today, on the exam room.
We focused this report on the top five busiest airports in the U.S. So out of those, we have LAX, we have Atlanta International, we have Chicago O'Hare, we have Denver International. I would say that some were definitely more plant-based friendly than others, but we were able to find plant-based options at all of them.
Welcome to the Exam Room Podcast, brought to you by the Physicians Committee. Hi, I'm the weight loss champion, Chuck Carroll, raising health IQs coast to coast and around the world. Hi to the Exam Room is listening in San Angelo, Texas, Beaverton, Oregon, and Sapporo, Japan. Wherever you are, we appreciate you helping to make the world a healthier place. This is episode 100 of season 7, number 599 overall. So if you eat a plant-based diet, you know finding something healthy to eat on the road can be a challenge, especially in airports where options seemingly are often limited to a bag of nuts or a bottle of water. But the good news is that things are improving in some ways, and today we are going to hear all about them as we're joined by dietitian Xavier Toledo, who has spent months researching the most plant-based friendly airports in the U.S. And he is here today to share his tips and tricks for healthy eats when you are flying the friendly skies. And we also here at the Physicians Committee just did a big survey with our partners at Morning Consult, asking travelers about their experiences, and we're going to be sharing some of what they said with you today as well. But Xavier is going to get you all set to take the hassle out of travel when it comes to keeping it healthy on the road. But before we go any further, how about flying away to Florida with us in March? Yeah, come escape the cold and party with Drs. Neil Barnard and Will Bulsiewicz, along with yours truly, because for the first time ever, Dr. Bulsiewicz and I will be doing a live show together on stage in front of an audience, and we want you to be there. This is going to be going down right before Dr. Barnard's Bon Voyage Bash that night. So really what you're getting here are two big events on one big day. Tickets to Dr. Barnard's party, they're already on sale, and tickets for the podcast will be going on sale very, very soon. But I know that seating is going to be extremely limited, so when they go on sale, you best be ready to pounce. It will be sooner than you realize. So come on down and hang with us for a healthy night like no other. Head to pcrm.org/events or click the link in the episode notes to get your tickets to the bash right now, and stay tuned for the podcast tickets in the near future. And now, let's talk travel tips and tricks in the most vegan-friendly airports with dietitian Xavier Toledo from the Exam Room Live. Dietitian extraordinaire, how you doing, Xavier?
Good. I'm excited. How about you?
I'm good too, man. You have spent a lot of time looking at these airports, and obviously, we did the survey speaking to hundreds and hundreds of travelers about the things that they're looking for in the airport. But let's go ahead and start with, just out of curiosity, what is the most plant-forward airport in the U.S. that we have discovered?
That is a really good question. And I kind of want to ask you, what would you guess?
I mean, so knowing what I do about L.A., I would have to say LAX. Been through that airport many times and have never had a problem. So that would be my guess.
You are exactly correct. That is what I guess as well. And no surprise, LAX has amazing plant-based options. So they are definitely leading the way when it comes to plant-based options at airports.
So when you were looking at these airports, like I would imagine with all of the different restaurants and, you know, news outlets where they sell the snacks and things like that, it took a lot of time to go airport by airport and look at these things. How much time did you actually spend? How long did it take you to comb through all of these airports and find the plant-based options?
That is also a really good question, because when we first came up with this idea, we're like, this could take a long time because, as you said, there's so many eateries at these airports, be it restaurants or these kiosks or these grab-and-go markets. So luckily, we were able to lean on data from a website called Vegl. And I might be mispronouncing it, but it's spelled V-E-G-G capital L. So I'll call it Beggle. But basically, they offer a whole lot of guides when it comes to how to navigate eating plant-based at chain restaurants. Then also they have airport guides. So they have a whole bunch of guides for how to eat plant-based at different airports. And when we found this data from Beggle, we were like, we have to team up here because these guides exist already, but we wanted to take it a step further. And we wanted to focus on healthy plant-based options at these airports. What would we as PCRM dietitians and employees eat if we were at these airports? So that was a really good just launch point, using the data from the airport websites, using the data from Beggle, and going from there when it comes to figuring out what we would eat at these airports.
And we're going to talk more about the U.S. airports in just a second, but I know that Karen Price is joining us. She's a regular roomie and she's watching over in Germany. I'd be really curious to know if internationally travelers might have a different experience where it's not just like LAX or bust or, you know, maybe things here and there in airports. Like, is there a lot more options internationally than there would be here in the U.S.? I also see that, I hope that I'm pronouncing this name right, Ingborg is watching right now on YouTube as well. They say in Wellington Airport, there is a Bielen Cafe that is vegan. So that's awesome that there's a straight up vegan cafe somewhere. So I'm not exactly sure which Wellington they may be referring to, but that definitely sounds promising, no?
Absolutely. That sounds delicious.
All right. So we've got LAX and then we teamed with Beggle. So LAX was at the top of the list. What are some of the other plant-based friendly airports that made the list?
Yeah. So we focused this report on the top five busiest airports in the U.S. So out of those, we have LAX, we have Atlanta International, we have Chicago O'Hare, we have Denver International. And these were, I would say that some were definitely more plant-based friendly than others, but we were able to find plant-based options at all of them, even if the variety of options wasn't the same as LAX, for example. So places like Atlanta International had great options. I would say that Denver also had a lot of great options, not as many options, but the things that we did see were really thoughtfully crafted plant-based entrees at Denver International. And unfortunately, I would say that Chicago is kind of at the, not, I don't want to say bottom, but out of those options, we didn't quite find as many as we did at LAX, for example, compared. Yeah.
Oh, no. Chicago. Chicago, I know that like Chef Dustin Harder and some of our other colleagues spent a lot of time up in Chicago. I'm kind of heartbroken that O'Hare didn't do any better.
I know. I would hope the same, but yeah, options, but not quite as many.
Yeah. I know locally, when I fly out of Washington, D.C., 9 times out of 10, I'm flying out of Reagan National, and they now have a Cava there, which is very, very, very helpful, and that's kind of a go-to. And the funny thing is, you know, right across the aisle there, or right across, I don't know what I don't even know what you would call it there at the airport, the concourse, that's the word I'm looking for, forgive me. Right across the concourse, you know, they have a burger joint and a pizza joint, but the line at the Cava seems to always be longer than at the standard American diet type restaurants. That surprises me, but at the same time, it doesn't, based upon what it is that we found with what travelers are seeking in the survey that we did.
That's a really good point, because when we conducted this survey, we found out a number of shocking, in a good way, results. So first and foremost, we found out that over half of US travelers that are going through these airports are taking advantage of the food and beverage options at the airport. And among these US travelers, we also found out that over half of them are interested in trying healthy options when they're traveling, but they have difficulty doing so. So that really just made it clear to us that a lot of people are interested in eating healthy while they're on the go, but they're unfortunately struggling when it comes to this. And that was one of our first just indications that maybe we should be making a report or a resource to help people eat healthy while they're on the go. But of course, you know, being the physicians committee, we wanted to make it plant-based. So we wanted to see how many people that are looking to eat plant-based would be interested in eating healthy plant-based options. And we found that over half of those people said that they'd be interested in trying healthy plant-based options if they were available at airports. And I think the last shocking piece of information, shocking in a good way, is that among frequent travelers, so those that are traveling 4+ times in US airports per year, 71% of those people said that they would try healthy plant-based options. So it really is no surprise that the line at Kava is so long, because there seems to be a lot of interest when it comes to this.
Yeah, that is very surprising to me. And I think that travel by itself, I don't know why it's so exhausting, because essentially all you're doing is walking to a gate and then sitting on a plane and then flying for hours to whatever your destination is. But for whatever reason, it's just so draining. And then if you add like heavy, high fat, high calorie, high salt, high sugar meals on top of that, you're going to go into a food coma. So if I'm a traveler, which I am, I'm always looking for something that's going to keep my energy up as opposed to drag me down. Just hypothesizing here, do you think that that could be part of the reason why people are searching out these healthier options?
I feel like that could definitely be a factor in this, because like we're talking about, these healthier plant-based options are going to make you feel good. They're going to give you sustained energy. They're not going to drag you down when you're going through these exhausting travel days. So I think that could definitely be a big factor here.
I wonder, demographically also, you know, we see a lot of, based off of income and that kind of thing, the type of diet that a person eats. So when we're looking at the travelers who had a high preference for healthy meals, were we able to match that to their, household income?
That is a good question. So I think the most telling piece of information that comes to this is that this was a random assortment of people. Like, this wasn't a group of, you know, people that have matched demographics or a group of plant-based eaters. This was just a random assortment of 2,000 plus people. And we still got this information that we got when it comes to, there's a high preference, a high desire for eating healthy plant-based options. So that was really encouraging.
I think so. And I think that by and large, you know, we're starting to slowly but surely kind of turn the tide in a lot of ways in terms of our health, as we are seeing more and more people seek out these healthy options, regardless of their income status. So I'm hoping that this brings a new opportunity for a lot of healthy entrepreneurs who want to feed what seems to be a really hungry market that is being right now severely underserved in a lot of airports. I mean, you just mentioned that Chicago really scored kind of low in terms of the top five there. I would think that would be one. And I think that knowing what I do about this market here in the DC area, if you were to put in some other healthy eating options, those things would explode too. Maybe, Xavier, here's what we're going to do. We're going to pool our money together, my friend. That's what we'll do. And we'll open up a spot. No?
I think that's a great idea.
I'm just saying. I want to ask you about your specific tips and tricks here in a little bit as well. But first, let's see if we can help out Trisha, the truck driver, right now. She's joining us. Hopefully, she's not driving at the same time. But at 12:04, she said, I am a truck driver. My options are these. Bring your own food. That's it. So I think that that is really sage advice for a lot of people. Not always the easiest thing to do when you're going through airport security. In terms of bringing your own food, Xavier, what are the kind of things that you might suggest here?
Yeah, that's a really good point about airport security. And honestly, you can get a good amount of things by in airport security without having to worry about the rules and regulations. So if you're ever curious, you can go on the TSA's website and they have a whole section called What Can I Bring, essentially. And there's like 6 pages of just all the food items and beverage items that you can bring. Can't really bring beverages unless they're frozen, fun fact. But you can bring a whole lot of things through security. So you just have to make sure that you're following those guidelines that are listed on the website.
I think that I've told this story before, but we work with somebody who is notorious for packing sweet potatoes on the go, and maybe even putting them in a fanny pack while they're out taking a walk, which I think is the funniest daggone thing ever. I wonder if a sweet potato is something you could get past airport security. I don't know.
I don't know. People get really creative. One thing that I saw someone do, or I heard from someone, is that they make their smoothie, they freeze it, and they bring that through airport security because it's frozen. So you can take a frozen liquid through it, and then they defrost it and they have it on the plane. I'm like, that is creative and that is commitment. And I am here for that. I like that.
That is well done. Right? I like that. I wonder what the trick is to thaw it fast enough so that they can drink it. Cause I mean, it's gotta be awfully frozen. I mean, frozen solid to get through TSA. That's so what I mean. I wonder like how they thaw it out. Do they like reconstitute it with a little bit of hot water once they get through? I don't know. I have a question from Elsie, who's watching right now, 1207 on YouTube. Hi, Chuck. I'm a musician preparing to go on tour in the early spring. Well, rock on, my friend. What advice does your guest have about staying nourished on a plant-based diet while away for an extended period of time?
It's a really good question. If you can control this, I'm always looking for Airbnbs when I go away because I love to have my own kitchen. I love to just be able to prepare my food as I would if I was home, go to the local markets. I'm kind of a nerd like that. If I'm in a different country, I'll go to the grocery store as like a destination just to check out what they have. But really ensuring that you have a place that you can prepare these meals and honestly save money. It's great to go out and try out the local restaurants and eateries. But if you can find a place that allows you to prepare your own food, that's I think my top tip that I give people when it comes to staying plant-based and healthy when they're away. But then beyond that, if you did want to go experience the eateries in wherever you are, I would take advantage of resources like Veggle, for example, to see their guides on how to eat plant-based at certain chain restaurants, or even Happy Cow. I love Happy Cow. I took a break from Happy Cow for a while, but I came back this year and I'm like, oh my gosh, what have I been missing? This is amazing. It's, if you don't know, a platform that has an app and a website, and you can go on there and you can see all of these plant-based options in whatever area you are. So you could be in another country, another state, and you can just see a whole list of whatever there is. If it's a completely vegan restaurant, a restaurant that's not vegan but has vegan options, you can add your own input. You can review places and add, like, I saw this entree, and you can post a picture. And it's really just a lovely community of just crowdsourced data on how to eat plant-based in different areas around the world. So yeah, I'd recommend that as well, just doing your research.
Yeah, big fan of Happy Cow. Interviewed the founders of that one time, and then that was early on in the show. We did a couple of episodes at an event out in LA, maybe the first season of the show, and those guys just happened to be there. And it was a fascinating story to see how all of that came about. Update from Elsa here. She says, unfortunately, I think I'll be in a standard hotel room as opposed to an Airbnb the chunk of the time. So that could make things a little bit more difficult. I remember interviewing Megan Duhamel, who is an Olympic medal-winning ice skater in Canada. And she was saying that for international competitions, one of the things that she does is make overnight oats in her hotel room. And that's the easiest thing to make in the world. You don't need any sort of fancy much of anything in order to do it. And she said, just I would make sure that I packed a whole bunch of oats or had oats shipped there ahead of time. And that's what she would do. So she always had a healthy, nourishing option there. So hopefully that could help. Anything else that you could add to Elsa there?
That's a really good just idea, because this reminds me a lot of when I talk to a lot of college students who, unfortunately, their schools didn't have a lot of plant-based options and they only were working with a mini fridge and a microwave, which I assume a lot of hotel rooms have. And you can get really creative with things that you can do without a full-blown kitchen, like those overnight oats, like chia pudding. Like you can get really creative there. So I'd recommend looking up recipes that you can make without a full kitchen and going from there.
100. The things that you learn in college that aren't necessarily part of the curriculum, but these are life's lessons that stay with you every day for your entire life. Very good stuff there. We were talking about kava a little bit and how that's at Reagan National. Bob Gale at 1209 is wondering whether kava is actually better than eating the standard American diet. I suppose it depends on what it is that you order, right?
I would say so. Yeah, you can definitely get super healthy there. And they are very good when it comes to labeling what's vegan and what's not. And when I go, I just kind of point to anything that's vegan and I say, put it on my plate because it's delicious. But Yeah, I would say that compared to what a lot of people get at fast food restaurants, fast casual restaurants, you can definitely do better than the standard American diet at Cava pretty easily.
Yeah, no question about it. And if you have a Whole Foods, or even I've seen it now, their brand of hummus carried in regular grocery stores as well. Let me tell you something. That is by far my favorite hummus in the entire world, is just the Cava hummus. Is absolutely mouth-watering delicious. I don't know what these guys do to make it so daggone tasty, but it is a very simple list of ingredients, and man, it is magic in the mouth. Magic.
So, so good. If I'm not mistaken, I think it's oil-free. Is that correct? I have to double check.
100% is. There's tahini in there. So if you're trying to keep your fat low, like, that's something to think about. But yeah, it is oil-free. And I wasn't even looking necessarily for an oil-free hummus. It just happens to not have any. So win-win. Right.
Exactly. So, so good. I love Cava.
Let's see. Video 1000 Nights. Does Xavier at 1215, does Xavier have any suggestions to help a parent make sure a teenager gets enough protein if the teenager thinks they, if that teenager doesn't like tofu? All right. Now, this isn't necessarily a travel question, but let's say that the teen is in high school and you're sending them to school with a lunch. They don't like tofu. What do they do?
That is a good question. So there are, I think I want to start this question with just setting I want to make sure that people know that all plant-based foods have protein. So as long as you're eating a well-balanced diet, you're getting an adequate amount of calories, you should be fine when it comes to protein. We don't really see protein deficiency here in our country often, which is very great. So as long as you're getting enough calories and you're having a well-balanced diet, your teen should be fine. But beyond tofu, there are so many other options if you want to have a really protein-packed protein source, plant-based protein source. So you could go with nuts, for example. You can go with hummus, like we're just talking about. I love edamame. Edamame is a great thing to try. A lot of legumes. Like, you can really get creative when it comes to getting a protein source that's plant-based.
Oh man, look at this. Roxina at 1217 watching on YouTube. This is a travel pro right here. She says, I now travel with a mini blender, NutriBullet kind of deal. It's a 1.5 liter smoothie that helps a lot. I also do a lot with work travel and use it in hotels. I mean, if you're carrying a blender with you on the road, you've got this whole travel, eating healthy thing down pat, wouldn't you say?
Absolutely. I'm glad you brought this up because I actually saw that people do this. I was like, I don't know why I didn't think of this, but a little mini NutriBullet blender, bring that when you're traveling. That's amazing. I love smoothies when I'm at home. So I'm like, why not do this? That's a really great idea, Roxina.
Yeah, man. That's A plus effort right there. Oh, tell your boss that you deserve a raise. Xavier and Chuck say so. All right. Loretta joining us on Facebook, also at 1217. What are your favorite travel foods, Xavier?
What are my favorite travel foods?
So if you're packing a to-go bag and you are the one who's flying that day, what's in the bag?
What's in the bag? I'm a real big trail mix kind of guy. I love to get my trail mix. I love granola. I am a really big trail mix person. When it comes to, I feel like I also go above and beyond. I get like sandwiches, because at first I was a little concerned about bringing food through TSA, but I did a lot of traveling last year and I discovered that you can basically sneak through anything. And I pack sandwiches, hummus, I spread it on there, put some veggies, put on a nice piece of whole wheat bread, and I bring that on board. I love packing. I'm a big peanut butter person, so I love packing some peanut butter and dipping in some apples, some sliced apples. So I really go all out when it comes to what I bring through TSA nowadays on planes.
That's well played. So no problem getting the sandwich with the hummus or the peanut butter through? All good there?
All good, yeah.
All right. Good deals, yeah. Sometimes, like, I've been known to carry those little packages of peanut butter that have like 200 calories worth, and you can just rip it off and either put it on a sliced apple, like you say, or sometimes I'll have a banana in my bag and I'll put that on there too. Or I'll just eat it straight if I don't have anything else. And man, you know, peanut butter is so good. I try though, man, not to do a lot with that peanut butter, because once it hits your lips, like, it, that's a, game over kind of deal for me. Like I have a real hard time controlling my peanut butter habit, man. It's a thing.
I love peanut butter. I had to, for a while, my post-workout smoothie was a peanut butter and banana smoothie, but I would add so much peanut butter to it. And I'm like, I'm kind of like canceling out my workout because peanut butter can be really high in calories. So I ended up switching to powdered peanut butter. And that's what I add into my smoothies because I can really load it up and not add too much fat to it. And that's been a game changer. And it's been really satisfying my peanut butter craving.
Yeah, and I'll give a shout out to there's PB Fit 2, which has just ground peanuts. But then there's also a brand called Crazy Richards, which is amazing. They have just peanut powder, which is that's the best tasting that I found so far. Free plug, you can get it on Amazon. Yeah. Let's see here. All right. Boy, you want to talk about a travel pro as well. Thylakoids are go. At 12:22, I travel with my Vitamix and take Majul dates for snacks. Man, all right. So now you've got the Vitamix and you've got the king of dates, the Majul date. That is also a seasoned traveler. Dates make great, easy travel snacks too, don't they?
Absolutely. It's definitely dried fruits are great because they're very easy to travel with and they have a good amount of calories packed in. So if you can go with a hand fruit like an apple or a banana and get, you know, a light snack. But if you want some more calories, you know, the dried fruits and the nuts, that can sustain you on a longer flight, for example, or a longer car ride. So, yeah.
Yeah. Are you the kind of guy that gets tired by travel too? Like going back to what it was we were talking about earlier, wanting that little boost to keep your energy up during the day or during the travel?
That's a good question. I previously wasn't someone who would consider myself, you know, exhausted by travel. Like I don't enjoy traveling. But I did go to Europe for the first time earlier this year and experiencing that longer plane ride. And I was doing a lot of buses and trains. Like that was pretty exhausting. It was fun. Very happy I went to Europe, but a lot of just long travel days.
Yeah, man. I got you. What part of Europe did you go to?
That was quite the trip. So we went to Amsterdam, Brussels, Paris, and we went around Italy. It was really fun. But once again, that's what I mean by all these buses and planes like that. I saw how someone can be exhausted by travel, but yeah. A real good experience.
That's a heck of an itinerary there. Edith in the chat right now, just throwing in a couple of cents here. I doubt the MYR airport, not exactly sure where that is. I'd have to look it up. But she says that she doubts that they will let you take the peanut butter. She says that they once took a tiny sealed container of almond butter. So I don't know. But yeah. I saw somebody posted a link to the TSA website with the do's and the don'ts and what you can and cannot bring on board. So go ahead and click on that. I think that would... be good. Plant story. I don't think that a date is a dried fruit, is it? Now, this is a good question. Is the dates as we know them, is the date as we know it, the ones that come in the containers, is that a dried fruit?
I would think so, but maybe not technically. I know that food has these rules sometimes where it's by definition this, but it's colloquially known as this. So I don't know. I think I consider it a dried fruit, but maybe not.
All right, man. Let's wind things up here, or wind things down, I should say, with the final tip here. Not so much about airports, but let's say that somebody this holiday season is packing it up in the car. Everybody's loading in there and going to grandma's house for the holidays. I would think, well, I know for a fact that, you know, keeping it healthy in that case is going to be a lot easier, but let's talk about some things that somebody might want to try if they're just, you know, loading up in the car and, you know, driving 5, 6, 7 hours, however long that trip may be.
Yeah. So luckily we have some more flexibility when it comes to how much we can actually pack. We're not limited to, you know, a carry-on and one bag and this and that. So if we're utilizing coolers, you know, it's kind of game over with what we can pack in there. We can have, you know, a freezer pack to keep some nice fruits nice and cold, like grapes, for example. I love grapes when I'm traveling. I go for a lot of finger foods. You can go with full size containers now. So you can have a full hummus pack and you can put that in here and you can have some, you know, chopped up veggies that you can dip in there, some pretzels, You can go with some nut butters as well. You don't have to worry about TSA taking it away. So you can take a full-size container, put that in there. Full-size sandwiches, salads. You can really get creative with what you put in your Tupperware as well. And if you have that cooler bag, you can, the sky's the limit when it comes to what you can pack for these road trips. So I think the number one piece of advice is just plan ahead. Understand that you need to eat. You're going to get hungry on this road trip. So why not pack a feast of plant-based options for that car ride?
I agree. That is always going to be the best option. But let's say that you're just frazzled, your nerves are shot, you're frayed, you're anxious, and you just leave the bag that you packed at home, or you don't even have time to pack one. And now you're on the road and you don't have it with you. What do you do?
Great question. So my go-tos are places where I can customize my meals. So if I'm on the road, I don't have my pre-planned snacks and meals, I'll go to somewhere like Chipotle and I'll go and I'll customize my meal. I'll get some brown rice. I'll get a bean of some sort, pinto, black beans. I'll get all the sauteed roasted veggies and I'll put that in here and I'll just make a nice bowl that'll keep me full for a long time. So I love those places that you can customize your meals.
Yeah, I like that too. And I think that if you're just somewhere where there doesn't seem to be a restaurant like that that's available to you, pop into a gas station, pop into a 7-Eleven, something like that, and then just get an apple or a banana, something like that, and then maybe some nuts and, you know, eat those two things together. You know, I call that like a poor man's trail mix, because if you take a bite of an apple and then you eat some almonds or peanuts or whatever with that, walnuts, whatever the case may be, it actually tastes pretty daggone good. One of my favorite combinations in the entire world is a banana and almonds. I will eat those together a lot, and it is like phenomenal and quite filling too. And you can definitely do that on the cheap. It's certainly going to be less expensive than going to a restaurant. So, and the good news there, Xavier, is that in my experience, you can find an apple, banana, any kind of fruit pretty much at any kind of convenience store out there. So luckily, you know, I think that there's always something. It may not be the something that you're looking for, but there's always something for you that you can keep it healthy and keep it, you know, plant-based, you know?
Absolutely. Couldn't agree more.
Every Wednesday, noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on YouTube and on Facebook, and now streaming on my X account. That is when we do the Exam Room Live. Hope to see you there. Now, I will say this, a quick programming note. We are taking the rest of the year off. Yes, episode 100 for season 7 is our final episode of the year. However, starting January 1st, a brand new season is kicking off in a big, big way. You're going to hear new music, you're going to hear some fresh sounds, and you're going to get a whole lot of brand new information. And we're doing new shows to start the new year every weekday, January 1st through January 8th, right here on the podcast and always on YouTube and Facebook as well. It's going to be a big series that starts with Dr. Barnard. He's going to be with us New Year's Day for an episode called How to Lose Weight. Yeah, New Year's resolution time. A lot of us are looking to shed those unwanted pounds, or maybe the pounds that we put on over the holidays with all of those indulgences, right? So Dr. Barnard's going to be here with us, How to Lose Weight. And then we're also going to be covering in a separate episode, how many calories should I be eating in a day? It's not always 2,000. One size does not fit all. So that's going to be an interesting conversation that we're going to have. Also, as part of the series, two great episodes with the heroic life-saving doctor, Dr. Steve Loam. He will be with us. We're going to be doing one on lowering blood pressure, as well as another one on lowering cholesterol naturally. And here's the cool thing about these episodes. High blood pressure and high cholesterol, those are two of the biggest health concerns that people worldwide have. So we're going to devote two full episodes to those two topics. So I can't wait for Dr. Loam to be able to join us and get us going on that healthier path in the new year. And then it's all going to culminate January 8th with a brand new live show with our good buddy, Dr. Will Bolsiewicz, who will be back as we get ready to head down to Miami. Yeah, for that big party on March 7th. So mark your calendars, taking a little break now, going to catch our breath, get a little bit of R&R, and then we're going hard in the new year. January 1st through 8th, every weekday, a brand new episode of the show. And it culminates on the 8th of January with the big live show with Dr. B, the Gut Health MD, getting our microbiome back on track as we head into 2025. Man, that sounds crazy to say, doesn't it? 2025. Where does the time go? Man, I'll tell you where I go. I go a lot of places, and my calendar is already booking up for the new year. And I'm lucky enough and fortunate enough to be able to travel a lot doing the exam room, getting the opportunity to meet so many of you guys. I love that. And so what we didn't get a chance to talk about during the conversation with Xavier today was kind of what I put together for my travel pack. And a lot of times, as I'm going through TSA, airport security here, I have Lara bars in my bag. Now, Lara bars I love because of the simplicity of ingredients. All whole food, all plant-based, really, for the most part. Some of the chocolate ones may have some milk in there, but I get the ones without the chocolate. And you do have to be a little bit careful also with the fat content in some of these bars. A lot of them have a little bit higher fat content than others. One that I tend to gravitate toward is the banana bread bar. And that one is made with almonds and bananas and dates. And that's it. No added sugar or anything like that. And that has less fat than what is actually my favorite Lara bar, which is the peanut butter cookie. And that one actually has a substantial amount of more fat than the banana bread. But either way, I typically have one or two of those on hand with me as I go through security. And then if you eat that and you drink some water with it, you're going to be surprised at how full you can feel. Also, nuts, if you're not too worried about the fat, nuts are pretty easy to find in the airport. I like to bring my own sometimes. I'll get dry roasted unsalted almonds or pistachios or something like that. Carry those in my bag with me as I go through. And if you have a Costco near you, maybe they have something that they have near me as well. And these are sweet potato sticks. And that's the only ingredient in there. These are just sliced sweet potatoes that have been steamed and then packaged, and they are delicious. And I thought that this was like the craziest thing. It's like steamed sweet potato sticks. You see that on the package and you're like, I mean, as somebody that likes to eat healthy, that does actually excite me. But to the layperson, probably not going to be all that appetizing. But I'm telling you, you give these things a try and they're amazing. They're cut like French fries, but they're kind of like soft and really sticky because they've been steamed, and it brings that natural sweet sugar from the sweet potato out to the surface. And you eat these things and they're so good. And they're so good. And it's just the one ingredient. All it is sweet potato. I believe that this kind of recipe was inspired over in Asia initially and then kind of immigrated here to the US. But man, these things are good. So check that out at your local Costco if you can find them. I think that there are some other brands that you may be able to track down on Amazon as well. Now, apples and bananas, also easy to find on the road and super easy to tuck into a bag. Even if you're going through airport security, you're not going to get any sort of hassle there. And then, of course, once you get through security, water and black coffee, you can find at literally any airport out there. And so you're always going to be able to be hydrated without having to drink a high sugar soda or something like that. So easy stuff. Those are the things that I like to carry with me that keep me on the go in a healthy fashion. And then, of course, when I get to my destination, one of the first stops I make is at the grocery store. Always try to book a hotel room near a high quality grocery store and then load up on groceries so that I make sure that I have healthy things to eat. Just make sure that you have a working refrigerator in your room before you go to the grocery store. I have made that mistake many times, but will not do so again. Yeah, nothing worse than loading up on a whole bunch of like perishable items and then not having anywhere for them to stay. But anyway, those are the tips and tricks, and I hope that you enjoyed the episode with Xavier. He's going to be back with us a lot in the new year as well. He brings fresh new energy to the show, and I really like his style. He's a young guy. He's up. He's coming in the industry, and I think he's someone that you're going to want to keep your eye on for sure. Xavier Toledo, and links to all of his social media accounts, you can find them right now in the episode notes, as well as a link to work with him one-on-one to get your health back on track. And for today and this year, that is going to wrap things up. What a year we have had. 100 big episodes. Season seven is in the books. And now on to season 8. Can't wait. So I will talk to you again in the new year, come January 1st. I want to say thank you one more time to Xavier Toledo for being here today, though, and helping us put a bow on season 7 and episode 100. And the next episode, it's going to be episode 600 for The Exam Room. This was 100 for season 7, but we're starting season 8 with number 600 overall. Oh, where does the time go? But thank you so much, Xavier, for being here and helping to raise our health IQs. And for everyone at the Physicians Committee, I am the weight loss champion, Chuck Carroll. Thank you so very much for listening. And remember, as always, keep it plant-based.